After reading and hearing about God's gift to the world from the hope of the gospel in Colossians last week, this morning we look at how we can share that hope with the world. I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. I encourage you to follow along as I read and reflect upon how this word may be speaking to you right now, where you are in your life. I read Colossians 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the inspired word of God. It is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. May we take it to heart and truly pray for one another. Love unconditionally. Grow in wisdom and understanding of the word of truth. Bear fruit by our witness, and share the hope we have in Christ. The message this morning is your gift to the world.
I wonder if you have heroes in your life. You know, we know that Christ is our hero, capital H. You know that when you grow up, you have heroes on TV, in your life. Hopefully it was your dad, your grandpa. I remember John Wayne was my hero for a while. You know those fake guys. But as we get older, we really begin to look at people who are real heroes, really putting their lives on the line for truth and life and goodness. And though we don't set them up on a pedestal, we sure are glad we have them. We have them in the world, in the United States, even in our church. When we think back in the Gospels, we think of big names like Abraham and Sarah and Rahab and David. And then we, like this morning, they're talking about Deborah, a little bit lesser known, but if you're paying attention, she's a real hero. And Gideon and Samson with all their issues. Then even lesser heroes, but like Jael and Atheniel and Elud. These other ones that are lesser named and yet they stood for something. They stood up in a time of need. They stood up really by the Spirit of God and in love. The life bore out by them was love. That was the fruit of their life. We have Christian heroes today like Franklin Graham, who's right out there on the tip of the spear, and Anne Graham Lotz and others. I look for them every once in a while. I come across them. There's one, his name is Bill Koenig. Maybe you've heard of him. I kind of keep track of this guy. He's a self-proclaimed Christian journalist. Guess where he's at? Right in the pit of whatever, Washington, D.C. He says he's one of six or seven Christians there, and yet he says that the other six, they're not out there. They're not putting themselves out there. He's put himself out there so much that he's attacking fake news. He started his own work. He writes books. Doesn't matter who they're about. It's just anti-fake news. It's truth. It's his ministry. He's in the middle of Washington, D.C., whatever garden you would want to picture this place. He's tilling the soil. Every once in a while he waters it, but he's certainly tilling it. He's got his own website. You can see that he's got his name on it. That's not a bad thing. And then he's got a couple sources for news and a bunch of links there. You can go and find the news. That's really beneficial. Then he's got his own personal view from a biblical worldview of the news. And he uses this to till the soil, water, pluck the weeds, if you would. He's even got a little store. Again, he's got to make some money. I haven't been to it. I don't know what he sells. But it's a little box there. And he talks about prophecy. He talks about Israel. But look at this. His ministry. His ministry. Becoming a Christian. How to become a Christian? He's got links there by Billy Graham and other places. Got some more there. Got some more there. Three big blocks on his personal website in the middle of Washington, D.C., where he's got some gardening tools, if you would, to pluck out the weeds and to plant the truth and to water the truth. That's his mission. He calls it his ministry. A journalist calling this his ministry in the middle of Washington, D.C.? We should pray for this guy. This guy is a hero, little age. I wonder sometimes what my mission is, my ministry. Am I gardening? Am I watering? Am I tilling the soil? Am I pulling weeds? What is my life all about? What is our life about? Why, we can say, why are we here? But what am I doing with what I'm here for? What am I doing? Is my ministry my work? Is it my family? Those are parts of it. But what is my ministry? I believe it's to give a gift to the world. The one that we spoke of last week that was given to you. It was your gift. It's the most magnificent gift there ever has been, ever will be. And we give that gift to the world. Colossians 1, 1 through 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. First of all, Paul steps out here and says, I'm coming to you as an apostle. They don't know him. Remember, he didn't set the church up. They know about him. Epaphras was probably saved under his ministry. He went back and started the church, so they know Paul, but they don't know him. And so he's setting his credentials. He's saying, here I am. I'm an apostle. I'm a gardener for the Lord. I'm a servant for the Lord. I'm working on his behalf and on yours. He sends it to the saints who, he says, are faithful. They are faithful. So they're okay. But remember what we said last week. Epaphras went all the way to Rome for a reason. You remember we talked about the fake news of Gnosticism and cults that were starting to break into some of those churches. And he was concerned. And it says he struggled for them. Struggled all the way that he would go to Rome. And so Paul is going to struggle a little bit. He's actually going to water. He's going to help. But he's going to till the soil some too. He's going to do some tilling. So Paul and Epaphras are hand in hand here. And he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. That's the first thing he does as a minister. He prays for them since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Now listen, you just got a huge hint of Epaphras' gardening, of his ministry, that he preached the gospel to these people. They heard it, and they had faith, and that resulted in love. You hear, you believe, there's fruit. It's a progression. So it's a very favorable comment about this church, that they had faith in what they believed and what they heard, and now they're bearing fruit. And so what to do with the fruit? Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So now here it is, okay? You're in the soil, you're grounded in the gospel of truth. You have faith in that truth, and you sprout love. Your fruit is the love that comes from you because of the gospel and the faith that you have in it. So Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always struggling, always gardening and tilling and praying and watering. He's struggling on their behalf in his prayers, that they may stand like a well-pruned tree, like a very strong tree or crop, that they're standing mature, and fully assured in the will of God. Remember last week we talked about the assurance that they were probably beginning to lack because of their knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in a second. But they needed to stay in the assurance, in the nourishment of the assurance of the gospel. That's their hope, and then that bears fruit. What happens if we don't have nourishment? What happens if we don't remain in the truth? We don't bear fruit. And so, remember last week, this is the assurance kind of boiled down in Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. He created all things. He sustains all things. He's the head of the body. In him all the fullness of God dwells. We were fully alienated from him, but now we are fully redeemed. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's the hope. And then their faith is in those things. But then remember, our hope, if it remains in those things and believing in those things and tied to those things, our hope rests in him if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, there's that word again, in the ground of the gospel, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the gospel. So Epaphras is praying, he's watering, and then he's getting to a point where he's saying, I'm going to have to struggle a little bit. I'm going to go to Rome. I'm going to tell Paul and get another gardener involved here, and actually more than them. too. They had a whole list. We, who's the we who are praying? A whole list of them are praying that they would not stray from the hope. And then the only way they can not stray from the hope is if they're grounded in these things. The knowledge. The love that you have for all the saints because or comes from the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. There's the anti-fake news. There's the nourishment. There's the very thing that causes us to hope, and that hope causes us to bear fruit. Okay? Which has come to you, as indeed in a whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it always does among you since the day you heard it and understand the grace of God again in the truth. Now, you have this truth. A certain body of believers believe in that truth. They go out, they have hope, and then they bear fruit, and then it increases through all the world. What happens if it goes the other way? We stop having truth. We stop having or believing in truth. We stop hoping in the truth. We stop bearing fruit, and the fruit decreases. That's why I believe that the church of Laodicea, again, it goes around and around, that at some point there's a falling away because the world doesn't accept us anymore. It puts up with us. It used to put up with us. It never accepted us. It used to put up with us. But now it's going to get to a point where it's not even putting up with us anymore. And the church is going to, what are we doing here? We're getting beat up. We need to remain in the truth and bear fruit. It's the only way the world has hope. What is your gift to the world? What's your gift to the world? Your hope. Your hope in the gospel. If you walk out of here with more hope than you had when you walked in, it's going to be seen, it's going to result in love, and it's going to be your gift to the world. One leads to the other. Just as you heard it from Epaphras, that gardener, that minister, that gardener, who's tilling and helping and watering, he planted, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your, there it is again, love in the Spirit. But he adds, in the Spirit this time. This is really important. That love is mentioned three times here. And it is always a result of the hope and the faith in the truth, the gospel. But it comes by the Spirit. This love can only come by the Spirit. As we're faithful to understanding the scriptures. So they were bearing fruit like a tree. Why? They accepted the gospel. They understood the grace. They had faith in the Lord. They realized the hope. They bore loved all the saints. The reason I put bore there is because it was by the Spirit. It wasn't something that they manufactured up. The word bore means they bore love for all the saints by the Spirit because of their hope in the truth. And then again, as indeed in the whole world, this hope, this love goes through all the world. It's a progression. So verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, there's a list of a bunch of people with Paul here. There's Paul himself and Timothy and Epaphras, of course. There's Tychicus and Onesimus and Archicus and Mark and Justus and Luke and Demas. They're all ministering to Paul in prison. And they all, because of Epaphras' words, got together, come aside, and were praying for this church. And not just this one either, the Ephesians and Philippians. They were praying for these churches. Especially if somebody, a minister in a gardener, Epaphras, comes to them and says, I have a struggle. I see something beginning to happen, and I need your help. Now, I'm not a gardener. We have a couple people in here. We brought this up a couple times over the last several years. I know that they can explain to me how gardening works, that you till the soil, you plant a seed, you cover it up, and then you water it. They can tell me that's how it gets done, but they still, for the life of me, can't give me a good reason how that thing comes out of the ground. I mean, okay, you guys, I love your work, and it's great, and especially if you do thousands of acres, and I can't even do a 10 by 12 plot in the backyard. And I got my, we got our tomatoes, and the rhubarb comes up every year. I mean, I don't do anything with the rhubarb. It just comes up. It's like a weed. People eat it. It just keeps coming up. The tomatoes, bless Sue, she gives us these little plants, and so she's done most of the work. And I go out and I dig a hole and I put them in there. There they come up, beautiful little tomatoes and little yellow ones this time. And LaDawn gave us some, and these others. It's like, okay, I get that, but I still don't get that. How do they come out of the ground? How do you get some kind of seed or something to look like a beautiful tomato? Or those cucumbers, or it's like that for us. And it's better, it's honestly better if we understand that God makes it grow. And if I try to make it grow, I'm probably going to make it fail. All I need to do is to do what the Lord says. Here's the nourishment that I'm struggling in prayer, first for myself. I'm struggling in prayer for those I love, my church. I'm struggling to minister to myself and to others. And as I minister, God says it's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to happen. Knowledge and faith equals love. Paul said to the 1 Corinthians, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. That's the work. That's the help. That actually is the love that we're given to others. As we're ministering, I'm planting seeds. So other people are watering it, or I'm watering. Sometimes we're tilling the soil. That's kind of the hard work. You're kind of ripping up the seeds. You're trying to get to the things that are coming into the church or into our lives that are affecting us. We rip them out of there as best we can. But it's the Lord who makes it grow. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, Peter says. So we have this hope, we have this knowledge, and Peter says, keep adding to it. Keep nourishing it. Keep nourishing it. Don't worry about the growth. Do not worry about growing. See, what happens is we're going to use a verse here in a minute. It says, examine yourselves. But what it doesn't mean is, Paul said specifically, I don't judge myself. Well, I'm not good enough. I ain't doing it good. I ain't doing it well enough. How many people do you say here say, well, when I get better, I'll become a Christian. When I get better, they'll accept me in church. No. No. We call it a hospital because that's what it is. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. This is what he's praying for. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy. So look at the words there. Little words that we just sort of skip over. So as to walk. In other words, that's going to be the cause of an effect of your getting the knowledge and having faith in it and having hope in it. That's going to come. You're going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing to him. You're going to bear fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God as we continue. But when we use our own will, when we use our own desires, we will step back from desiring this knowledge, walking in this knowledge. We don't want anything to do with the church. We don't want anything to do with those kinds of things. They're out of vogue. And that's the coming problem. So in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all the endurance and patience with joy. See, that's going to be the cause of the growth. It's his glorious power. Remember the word glorious. His heavy, heavy power is going to come over you as you understand him and hope in him and believe him more. It's going to empower you for the biggest miracle in your life. What's the biggest miracle in your life? A healing? So you saw somebody else healed. Maybe you were healed. Those are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Those are acts of God for him to turn us to him, to turn others to him. But what is the greatest thing on this planet that you are doing, not can be doing, that you are doing? The greatest miracle is you overcoming the flesh. You overcoming those things that once hindered you, weighed you down, sent you to hell. You are overcoming them because of your hope in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those things that we went through last week, we go over and over again. We said, Paul Peter again says, I remind you of these things so that I'm continually reminded. My hope meter goes up. I understand them. And then I bear fruit. That is love. Endurance for the fight. Because here's the power. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. I planted the seed. Here's the rest of the verse that some of you said, where's the rest of that verse? I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God gave the growth. God gave the increase. God made the fruit come from you. God made you love each other, because it's not in us to do. It is not going to happen unless I believe in Christ, endure with him, trust in him, and hope in him. So, you're a fruit inspector. Maybe not with the hat. Now remember, we're not judges, but we inspect fruits, especially here. What's my fruit? Am I patient with people? No. Ask my kids. Do I love enough? Am I affectionate enough? Maybe ask my wife. Am I kind enough? You can ask yourself that. You've been around long enough to know with 3 years of me. Hey, pastor, you could be a little kinder. You could be a little bit more patient. But only when we do that for ourselves as well. Remember, not judging ourselves, but inspecting the fruit. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine your fruit. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't say, examine yourself to see whether you're in the hope? Well, you can't have hope until you have the faith. You can't have the love until you have the hope, until you have the faith. Love is the fruit. So it begins with your faith in what you're listening to, in what you have knowledge of, and your increased knowledge of. Examine yourself to see if the fruit is coming from your faith in what you heard last week in the end of chapter 1. All those things about Christ and the hope that is before us. Again, having so much hope that we walk out of here in joy and loving others, that there, you know, we used to sing a song that just came to my mind. Ain't nobody gonna take my joy away. We had there was a group down in San Francisco. Yes, good things can come out of San Francisco. And they came to our church, and they were a little song group, and they came to our church, and I went to the camp, and that's where I got saved. And one of them, the song that they came up with was, ain't nobody going to take my joy away. Ain't nobody going to try to keep me astray. I've been washed in the blood, and I know that I'm here to stay. Hey, hey, hey. So I get on my knees and thank the Lord while I pray. Because when we hear, and we continually to hear, and when we add to the knowledge, we are no longer ignorant of the fake news. That's why ministers, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you remember the first sermon I did here 3 years ago, and I'll remind you of it. The first sermon I did here 3 years ago is, I am not the minister. I am not the minister. We are the ministers. And you have a ministry. And it takes guts like Bill Koenig to say, this is my ministry. These things come second. I happen to work for this country, company. I love my family and I have them for a time. But my ministry is God and proclaiming Him and the hope that is in Jesus Christ. First to my kids, first to my family, then to others, and then your gift to the world. Because at some point, there's going to be a decline in that gift because the Holy Spirit is going to be taken with the church. Today is your ministry. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. Now, some people right here say, and I've always had a problem with this when I was younger in particular, is see, now you see your double standard here. You're a hypocrite. You're giving me the other side of the story. I got to do the work myself. See, this says I got to beat my body. Number one, somebody who is not in Christ doesn't beat their body. They don't want to. You see, there's the beginning. There's the hope. There's the faith. Okay, there's a kingdom of light. There's a kingdom of darkness. I've stepped into the kingdom of light. Now I'm not over there anymore. And then he gives you the power to beat your body. That doesn't mean, you know, take a whip. And that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I don't want to be like that anymore. And why don't we want to be like that anymore? Because of the knowledge that led to the hope that leads to the love. I don't want to be this anymore. So no, you can't do that anymore. You can't say that anymore. You can't have that anymore. And then we do that. So this is the point about the love to the world. Lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. In other words, we're hypocrites. So now I can give this gift to the world because they're going to see the fruit of my love. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, there's the love again, there's the fruit again, in the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Folks, it does take work. Don't let anybody lie to you. The first time I say that, just call me a liar out loud. It does take work. But the working in you is by the Spirit because of your hope in the truth. And so you will be able to overcome. You see, it's by the Spirit I put the deeds of the flesh to death. And so back to Luke 13 just for a minute. Jesus gives this parable about a fig tree. And he told this parable about a man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard. Now, I want to stop here for a second, and he's alluding to Israel here as well, okay? But this is about us. It can be about us as well. It's a type for us. It's a principle of God. A man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why should it be used up the ground? That makes sense. Let's get rid of that thing. But listen to our God. Listen to his love and patience for us. And he answered, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. That's a principle of our Lord, that he is going to make it grow. Now, listen, folks. How does he do that? He uses some manure. He uses some tilling. And sometimes it hurts and sometimes it stinks to us. but it's very pleasing to him because love comes from it. Ministers do this for each other as well. And so he goes on, he says, the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit. We went over this, but this is what I want to address. This love was mentioned three times. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now faith, there's the truth. Then there's the faith. Then there's the hope in that, because you believe. Because you believe, you can have hope. Then there's the love. But these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? I've asked myself that question a lot over the years and decades. Why is love the greatest? Because it's the ultimate fruit. It is the goal. It is the goal of God in each one of us and the church, where he brings us along to where now this wonderful tree I planted such and such a year ago, such and such a time ago, is bearing fruit. I think I'll keep it. What do you do with a milk cow that doesn't milk? What do you do with a fruit tree that doesn't fruit? Well, I mean, I leave it. But people who are in it for the business, get rid of them. Cut them down. And that's what the Lord is saying. You're going to bear fruit. The greatest of your efforts is love. And that comes about by God himself. I'm trying to track this whole thing down about the wheat and tares. I was talking to Dan a little bit about this morning. What's the difference between wheat and tare? You remember in Matthew 13, it talks about the harvest that's coming, and the tares and the wheat are growing together, and they look alike. They look so much alike that I know I couldn't tell the difference. I go down and I look at the descriptions, and it talks about the tare looking like this and whatever, and toward the end of their life, the tare is standing straight up, and the wheat is so overgrown with fruit, grain, that it's bowing over. It's getting heavy. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. You know, this word tare or darnel is the French word ivry. And it's from a Latin word similar to that. I won't pronounce it. And it means intoxicated. It means drunk. There are some of this, I don't know, never done it, but the professional resources say that some of this, if you eat it, and especially eat it enough, it's intoxicating, it's unhealthy, and actually if you eat enough, it will kill you. That's the fake news. That's the being ignorant. That's the growing up. Maybe trying to do good and trying to be right and even trying to be in the church, and yet not in the ground of the truth of the gospel. Not in grounded in the hope of the truth of the gospel and the faith that leads to the good fruit, love. We can look like it, but we don't act like it. Psalms 1, to finish, and we'll finish with this. You remember Psalms 1? This should be meditated on over and over. The first thing that you should understand about Psalms 1, and that it's number 1, that David, the Holy Spirit, put this psalm up front. And not only this psalm, but these words up front in his books, in his songs. We were talking about songs to the Lord. In his song to the Lord, his love to the Lord, his love to his church, I mean his people, Israel, he puts this song first. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He doesn't go along with fake news. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There's a whole lesson and a whole series in this right here. The law is not, don't do this, but this. The law is not, let me give you the Ten Commandments enough so you can memorize them and understand them and then, you know, live by them. Okay? It's not living by the law. It is understanding what the law of God is that it leads to love. Read Psalm 119. There's so many words for his law that he meditates on it and fruit comes from it. The law is never bad. It was never bad. Jesus fulfilled it. He said, we fulfill it. Why? Why? Because of love. We fulfill the law because I love God and I love you and I don't want to take your stuff. I love you and I want to bear good fruit because I have hope in God. He is like a tree. There's that again. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time in the Old Testament, it says in Amos, and also in Samuel. Remember when Samuel came, that the law, the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Did you ever hear that? The word of the Lord was rare in those days. It's going to be rare again. The Lord says that it will be rare again. Now, he's going to bring the two witnesses. He's going to bring the 144,000. And all the earth is going to hear it. But what I'm saying is that the word of the Lord from mere men is going to be very rare. And it is getting rarer. And here is the very hope. The very hope for us, the very hope of bearing any kind of fruit for us is to meditate on his word and to be in his word, not just on Sunday mornings, but setting some time aside saying, Lord, show me just a little bit of yourself. Let me just see a little bit of you today. So my help, my hope can stay there. My faith can stay here. My hope can stay here. And my love can increase. Lord, we wish for your love to increase. We hope for your love to increase. We pray that your love would increase in us. And yet you tell us that we should hope in the things that we've heard and understand that all of those things about Jesus Christ that we believe, we pray that they will be sunk into our hearts like deep seeds and watered by your word. Watered by others, the ministers that are sitting in these pews, that we water that word and even sometimes till the weeds for each other. Help us to do that. I praise the Lord. This last week, one man was kind enough to say, let's till that weed. Let's look at that so that we can water the good stuff. I praise you for it, Lord. May we all be ministers and gardeners on your behalf and for each other in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.